Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Calling all investigative reporters. I want to know who's going out to the MoDA headquarters this morning and asking, what the hell happened? What happened to the roads in St. Louis County? You can even, if you're at home, don't do this if you're driving, you can even look up at the live reports they're showing on Channel 4 right now as I look at this monitor to my right. Again, one lane clear. You can see pavement. Everything else is still snowpacked. This is them driving around out near 40 in Lindbergh. You can see the sound walls up there on the side. I asked that same question driving in this morning. We've been talking about it all morning. We don't have a lot of clear answers on that. I did post up a picture of what I saw as I drove in this morning up on the Facebook page there, the Mark Cox Show on Facebook. So a lot of people have commented and a lot of people have shared that, and a lot of them have the same questions I do. So I don't know if anybody's going to get an answer to that or not, but I think when you look at the increase in volume, The tires on those roads will help make a difference. But in the city, I had three clear lanes this morning. When I hit the city limits, it was clear all the way to the river. Not all the off ramps, but I do think that that somebody got some splaining to do. What do you think?
I'm a little shocked. When I ventured out today for the first time, I really thought there'd be at least a couple lanes clear. And it's not even just that only one lane's clear. It's almost like you have to straddle the lane in some cases. It's not great.
Well,
at all.
It was unprecedented in some respects, given the amount of snowfall. I know there was different things fell in different areas, but. Whew. Day two, and not a lot of relief. Maybe by tomorrow, but, you know, the side roads are still a mess. I think your kids are, a lot of the kids will be off again tomorrow because the districts will not want the liability.
Sarah on Facebook, by the way, is saying they didn't pre-treat. Normally they'd put down that brine mixture, which is the salt water, I believe, mixture. Now, I do know that if it's supposed to rain before, you can't put it down because it would just wash it off, but we didn't have any. We had freezing rain, I guess, in the forecast. But to me, you would still be able to put the brine down. To Sarah's point, I don't remember seeing them pre-treating the roads. Do you?
I did.
Really?
In certain areas. Now, I can't swear
the interstates?
I can't swear that I saw it on 6440 from the city to the county line. But I did see the brine on the roads in some places. I don't remember where, but I mean, I think that's pretty common. Thing to do with leading up to an ice storm. I'm pretty sure they did that. I could be wrong. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But anyway, if you can go up there and look at the pictures I posted and tell me your thoughts on it. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends First. This storm moved off and hit the East Coast. That, along with the certification of the election, I'm sure the big national stories that they're covering this morning. We got our friend Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. It's 2A Tuesday. We'll get to him at the bottom of the hour. Kim on a Whim still to come. Next hour, we're going to talk more about that drilling ban that the Biden administration's tried to drop here at the last minute and what Donald Trump can do on day one to reverse that silliness. It's like they want to cause you more pain at the pump as they're walking out the door of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It's insane. These people are insane, for sure. Thank goodness we've only got 13 more days left of that mess. Hey, let's get to our top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Today was certainly a bittersweet day, and candidly, I'm bitter. I mean, I'm bitter that a higher political price wasn't paid.
Oh, look, I wonder what price, you know what price Claire wanted? Claire wanted a Kamala Harris administration where she might have been able to get a job other than commentator on MSDNC, which nobody watches.
If you guys don't understand how absolutely ridiculous you sound, and you get every thing that you deserve, and I hope you are the next victim of those terrorist attacks.
Ooh, libs of TikTok coming through again. One of the TikTokers, you just should have seen this lady. She had more piercings than a pin cushion. Can I just tell you that? And she wants you dead if you disagree with her on anything.
St. Louis police are investigating a robbery.
The victim says who he thought was a good Samaritan helped free his car from the snow. That same person tried to steal his car.
It might be the most St. Louis story ever. That headline just kind of summarizes a whole lot of problems in the city. Guy pulls a guy out of a snowbank, then robs him at gunpoint. Wow.
No police officers died that day on January 6th. None. Not one. Some were assaulted. That is true. And their assaults are indefensible.
Tucker Carlson. And that's a flashback to him covering all of these lies from Merrick Garland and Chucky Schumer and all of these folks. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Yesterday, you had Corinne Jean-Pierre and Merrick Garland both issuing statements on the anniversary of January 6th, 2021, about how awful it was what the country went through. And they knew they were lies, even as they were coming out of their mouth, and they didn't care. Fortunately, Tucker pointed that out, and I'm glad that he did. Listen.
The riot rage of bipartisan lawmakers, you heard them all yesterday, you guys reported on it, who have condemned this false depiction of the unprecedented violent attack on our Constitution and the rule of law, which cost police officers their lives.
It was a violent attack on a fundamental tenet of American democracy, that power is peacefully transferred from one administration to another. Over 100 officers were assaulted on that day. 5 officers died.
5 officers died on that day. Now, that's just not some guy on Twitter. That's the Attorney General of the United States. That's a man whose honesty is central to his job. If he had a choice between IQ and integrity in an Attorney General, of course you would go with integrity because it's essential. Joe Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland is a liar. He just lied about something that is provably false. Who are these 5 officers who were, quote, killed that day? Notice he didn't tell you. No one ever tells you. No one ever shows you their autopsies. They don't want any detail. They just want the slogan. Now, they're counting Brian Sicknick. That's a lie. But who are the other 4? Well, those are 4 officers who killed themselves after January 6th, in some cases long after January 6th. But their suicides, we know for a fact, were the result of the Republican mob at the Capitol.
Yeah, good point on Tucker's part there. And Merrick Garland will look into the camera and lie about that for political purposes. Zero integrity on these folks that are leaving office, and they can't leave Washington, D.C. soon enough. Send those liars back home for sure. All right, coming up, we'll get to Todd Pyro. I know he's been covering this, and of course, the big snowstorm on the East Coast, which I'm sure has snarled a few things up there for sure. We'll get to Todd. He hadn't been on much since the New Year, so we'll talk to him. Mark Walters at the bottom of the hour for 2A Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back.
I do believe very strongly that America's democracy is only as strong as our willingness to fight for it. Every single person, their willingness to fight for and respect the importance of our democracy. Otherwise, it is very fragile, and it will not be able to withstand moments of crisis. And today, America's democracy.
And now, one of our favorite all-time guests, the host of Fox and Friends First, Mr. Todd Pyro.
Well, it's great to be back here in 2025. Before we begin, can I talk about something?
Please, please enlighten us.
What if we had said no?
Well, then I would have just sat here in silence, but... If you are regular watchers of the show, you will notice that the moment I got sick in October with, you know, the 7 continuous months of daycare residual sickness that I get from the children, my voice started getting raspy. And it's tough to get it back until really the moisture's back in the air. But a lot of times I'll be on air, I'll be like, excuse me. So 2 weeks. I had a couple days here and there, more time than usual off, even though I didn't get a lot of time. So I really worked on resetting the voice and getting everything fine. And it was great yesterday. Yesterday, I felt back. I was back, baby. So what do I do yesterday? The idiot that I am, I go for a run and I don't take my inhaler. So what does that mean? I'm coughing up a storm. What does that do? It re-aggravates my thing. So today, I sounded like I've been smoking 3 packs of Chesterfields a day since I was 8.
Brother, I feel your pain. I fought that throat thing for almost four weeks. They ended up diagnosing me with bronchitis at some point. And it was okay in the afternoon, but when you work the early shift like we do, for some reason, it's worse at 3 or 4 in the morning than it is later in the day.
Well, so, you know, admittedly, like, I yell at the children, and sometimes I yell at my own children, too. No, it's okay.
Yeah, I get you.
But I really made a conscious effort, like, okay, I'm going to be good cop for the next couple weeks. Amanda, my wife, you're going to be bad cop just because I want to get it back. And everything was coming up Millhouse for me until all of a sudden, yesterday, I go for a run, and then I step off the treadmill, and it's like Wheezy Jefferson. So you win some, you lose some. So I apologize for the viewers of Fox and Friends First if, you know, I sounded raspy again today, and here we go.
You know the great thing, Todd, and when you're doing radio, we have a cough button. When you're doing TV, you're just – the camera's on you, baby. The eye is on you. You can't look away and clip your mic and cough. And
I just hit Carly.
You just – yeah, thank you.
Take it, woman.
Point
go.
To Carly. Go, go.
That is really tough in TV when you can tell you have something in your throat and you're nervous because you're about to come up and you're like, I cannot get through this. There's just no way. I love the cough button we have here in radio.
Yes, I mean, at some point you just embrace it. I had a read where I just had to cough it out. And then for the did a segment with Charlie Arnold about the NFL coaching changes and just football in general. And I blamed it on yelling about the Giants, because that was part of the segment. So you kind of try to make it as seamless as possible. And you know, there's obviously that was a smooth television move, but there undoubtedly is some truth to that because the Giants make me want to kill myself.
Have you ever been caught on air doing something embarrassing, like a gesture you thought you were off camera?
And it's called 5 to 6 a.m. Eastern every day on Fox and a Friends First.
One of my favorite bloopers of all time. actually didn't involve me. It was a meteorologist we had in South Carolina. His name was Charlie Gertz, and he looked like an undertaker to begin with, but he'd been around forever. And he's doing the weather, and he gets choked up, and he honestly can't speak. So he points at the camera, like back to the anchors. So the person in master control switches back to the two anchors over there, and in the meantime, Charlie is literally he's choking on something. And for some reason, the camera cuts back to him just as he gives an up yours to the whole crew because everybody's laughing at him. Oh, it was one of my favorite bloopers of all time. I wish I knew where that was. I'd have to share it.
So tomorrow, if this happens again, give the finger to everybody and do it for Mark Cox.
Please do. Oh, my gosh. So, Todd, we got 13 days left. What did you think of Kamala's performance yesterday, having to read about her own loss there?
I'm going to take a high road here, I guess. I kind of felt a little bad. Human to human, I felt a little bad. You know, policy-wise, I was giddy, and I may or may not have done a dance. But human to human... That's got to be tough.
I'm kind of right there with you. I thought she, all things considered, handled it well, because that would be really tough, especially when you know people are going to clap that she lost in front of her.
Yeah, but then by the same token, all the damage that administration did, I don't feel that bad. So, it's definitely an interesting situation. A lot of emotions, but mostly thankful that in 13 days we get to end the madness.
Mike Johnson earned some points with his detractors for that smirk they caught on camera as she had to read her name and the electoral total. And the camera pans over to him, and he's kind of looking down with this little smirk as he peeks up at it. It was well worth it.
And everybody on Instagram and X captured the moment and slowed it down. So, at some point, I understand that politics is Hollywood for ugly people. I've heard that expression used. And I understand, but this is important stuff. And at the end of the day, we need to get this stuff right, because this, unlike a movie in Hollywood, is actually the stuff that controls our lives.
It's affecting us. Hey, we got to run. Did you get any snow up there in Connecticut? Are you guys all right? Did you survive?
We were told no snow. I pull in, there's snow. And my guy Lee, that we talk about all the time, he's my gardener, but he snow plows in the winter. Before I could even bring my snow blower out there, he did it. So more money to him. But I'm like, dude, I could have done this in 15 minutes. But, he beat me to it, so kudos to him.
Then you would have sounded raspier today, so you didn't need that exertion.
Exactly.
Todd, we'll talk to you next week, buddy. Thank you.
Happy week.
Yep. See you later. Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First. Coming up, we're going to get to Mark Walters of Armed American Radio, and we'll talk about a gun shop owner who's facing state charges in Washington.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, we welcome back Mark Walters, our friend from Armed American Radio. Mark, happy 2025, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Good morning to you. Good morning, St. Louis. Good morning, Kim. Kim, love the camo and the Carhartt look. Love it.
Oh, thank you. You're watching the feed.
Yeah, if I can rather watch it than just listen, right? I have the same options on my show, so it's great stuff. Yeah,
I love
morning,
that.
Guys.
That's fantastic. Yeah, she's in the mood this morning for a 2A Tuesday, so that's fantastic. I was watching. Of course, I reference armedamericannews.org all the time because it's such a clearinghouse for these important 2A Amendment questions or gun freedom questions around the country. And the first one I see is a gun owner in Washington State who's been charged by the state of Washington. What's that story all about?
That's a good one. I'm not real clear on that case. This is one of the magazine capacity cases.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
In Washington State. And in fact, I just spoke with Lee Williams at great length about that before I joined your program this morning. Lee, of course, the author and investigative journalist and my partner at Armed American News. What you've got here is these large capacity magazine cases, and you have this gun shop owner who was challenging Washington's large capacity magazine ban, and they allege that he sold to quote-unquote investigators large capacity magazines. Wentz, the owner of the gun shop himself, is one of the people that sold the magazines, which, by the way, a standard capacity magazine where you are or where I am is four times over the capacity magazine capacity limit in Washington State. So they charged him. And he fought it under Second Amendment grounds, and he won the case originally, and the state immediately appealed and was granted a stay instantly. So it's like a no-win situation. You know, Alan Gottlieb will join me on the air to talk about we won a great victory in the Ninth Circuit. Well, then, 2 weeks later, the state appeals to an en banc panel and gets a stay granted immediately. And you have weird situations occur sometimes. And I don't know if this was the case in Washington, so I don't want to comment. I'll refer back to a case in California where the judge in California, the lower court case was won. The magazine capacity was found to be a violation of the Second Amendment. It took a couple weeks for the state to get a stay. But during those 2 weeks, people were buying thousands, hundreds of thousands of standard capacity magazines during that 2 week time when it was quote unquote legal, right? So these cases, like, it takes a guy with cojones, like this guy in Washington, to be willing to eat these charges like this, knowing that it's wrong and fighting. And this man has vowed to fight all the way to the Supreme Court, and he makes it very clear. If we don't do this, we won't have Second Amendment rights. So God bless this man for being the case that nobody else wants to be. And that shows the thuggery of the state, right?
Absolutely.
Where they know they can come in and bury you, bankrupt you, because they have unlimited funds, which, by the way, are your funds. They're using this man's own money.
How does this stand? I don't know how it stands. Like, let's say, for example, I worked in a regular business and I got a job transfer and my boss says, hey, by the way, we're transferring you out to Washington State to take this position. We want you to move out there. You sell your house, you move your family out there, you move your guns out there with you, right? And suddenly you're a criminal because you've got a Glock that has a 18 capacity magazine in it. Like, what do you do? You have to get rid of all your magazines and go buy new ones that only hold five rounds?
I'll give you a real life example. The family that lived across the street from me, guys was in the Air Force. It was a helicopter pilot out of the local base here in North Georgia.
Yeah.
And he was moved up to Connecticut, where all of his guns were against the law, or a lot of them were against the law. So he had to leave them with family and friends here in the state of Georgia. Now, they just recently moved back, but he was able to get his guns back. Yeah, if you're going to comply with the law, that's what you have to do. You know, and I've often said over the years that if the Democrats keep this up, I tell my listeners all the time, if the Democrats keep this up, good, hardworking Americans who pay their taxes, work hard every day, and play by the rules are going to be forced to have to make decisions that they never thought they would have to make as a free American man or woman. And people would ask me all the time, what specifically are you referring to? Are you talking about joining a militia and fighting the government? I said, no, but you'll know the situation when it occurs. That's a prime example of it. Do I bring my guns with me to California and violate the law, or do I get rid of them? These are decisions that free people should not have to make in a free country.
No.
They should be able to move their guns with them wherever they go. Now, you do that in Jersey, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
And we've spoken to many people who have gone to jail in New Jersey for that very reason. And thank God some of them are strong enough and have the means to fight, because it's the only way we win. It's the only way we win. The problem this guy in Washington's going to have is, he'll fight it all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, what does that really mean? That means he'll appeal it to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court takes less than 1% of their cases.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That are presented to them on conference. So, the odds are not in his favor that the court will take that case, and the conviction could wind up standing as this brave man goes through this process. It is tyranny. This is the definition of tyranny.
Hey,
and the Democrats don't care.
Mark, here's a fun headline for you. This is from the Philadelphia Inquirer. It says, "The queer people who are buying guns to prepare for Trump's America." And it says, since Donald Trump's re-election in November, non-traditional gun groups across the city and county have seen a flood of interest. National Liberal Gun Club said it received thousands of training requests since the election. more than in all of 2023, and a spokesperson for the group estimated that roughly a quarter of those requests were from LGBTQ people. And I was looking at the article for the little I could see because I was blocked with a paywall, but it was something about I'm making sure I'm armed and going to a shooting range to learn how to shoot it so I don't end up in a concentration camp.
Well, you know, I'm glad they're exercising their right to keep and bear arms.
Yes.
And it's interesting to me that different groups of different political persuasions own and exercise their Second Amendment rights for different reasons. They're exercising, I'm going to put this in a convoluted way. They are exercising, those people who truly believe that, are exercising their Second Amendment right for what they believe to be protection from what they believe to be might be a tyrannical government, right?
Yeah.
Which I guess, yeah, I mean, in their defense, I would view that as the Democrats, that they're going to, their free speech and all these things that they've come down on us about. So we want to arm ourselves to make sure that we have protection.
Yeah. And the great irony here is I've been speaking at the, or emceeing the Gun Rights Policy Conference with the Second Amendment Foundation or the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms for many, many years. And it's interesting that the one of the groups that has spoken there every single year at the GRPC that I've been there has been the LGBTQ groups and the Pink Pistols, et cetera. We support everybody's gun rights.
Absolutely.
They just, you know, but you, again, you have militant factions on all sides, right? But, look, I defend everybody's right to keep and bear arms. I defend the Black Panthers when they were marching on Stone Mountain in Georgia. As long as they're not violating law, they have every right to carry their guns into that park property just as much as I do. As long as they're not breaking laws, have at it, brother. That's
Amen.
Your Second Amendment right in America.
True.
Amen. Mark, remind people where they can listen to Armed American Radio.
Yeah, they can listen at armedamericanradio.com, and you can click either listen live or, like I'm doing now, you can click watch live. So take your pick.
Outstanding. Mark, thank you, my friend, as always. You're a great American.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Happy New Year. Start to the new year this week. Thanks, guys.
Yep, you bet. Okay, January 20th cannot get here fast enough for this insanity. It really is. These people are out of bounds with some of the restrictions they want to put on you, for sure. All right, coming up, Kim, what are we talking about in Kim on a Whim?
Right, well, some guy has decided he wants to spend $2 million a year to try to basically age backwards to prove that you don't have to die at, you know, 100 or whatever it is.
It's the fountain of youth.
I guess so. And we actually did have a listener who called in and had something pretty interesting to say. So we want to play that for you when we get back.
Back in a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
So earlier this morning, we were talking about this California guy who's spending $2 million a year to de-age himself. He's doing all these fancy tests and medical procedures, trying to be as young as possible. And apparently it's working. He says he's had some success. I'm not really sure I understand how he's calculated. He says, you know, obviously there's 12 months in a year. He says that according to his calculations, he's only aging, was it 7 months out of the year, Mark?
I think that's it. So if you're only making up 4 months a year, you ain't living to 200 if you're already in your 40s or 50s, right?
No, he's 45.
Yeah, 45. So if he makes up, I'll try to do the math here real quick. If he makes up 4 months a year for the next 40 years, I mean, he's going to add a few years to his life if he's telling the truth, besides being hit by a bus while he's crossing the street.
Guy,
does he live in a cocoon?
There's a very strict routine the whole day. You know, very diligent about waking up at 5 a.m., taking 2 dozen supplements, exercises for an hour in his home gym, post-workout with his green drink, and then he brushes his teeth and rinses with tea tree oil and antioxidant gel. He, in the evening, he wears glasses that blocks blue light for 2 hours prior to sleeping. And he's doing blood transfusions, well, plasma, I guess, with his 17-year-old son, hoping that that helps him to basically be younger.
So he's having his son go get his plasma drawn out of his body, and he's injecting it in his own body?
Bingo.
He's received a lot of twisted.
I agree. I think this is on the side of you've gone off the deep end here. I get wanting to eat healthy, which this guy, you can imagine, eats very healthy. I get exercising, even some of these tests he's doing, like I can get on board with all of that, but this guy's just kind of a wackadoodle. Listen, we should play the a listener. He Richard. I say called in, Richard, but he, on the Odyssey app, if you're not familiar with it, you can send us an audio message up to a minute, and he responded to our conversation when we were chatting about it earlier.
I worked for the medical examiner for a long time. I can tell you, I didn't pick up many people over 90, maybe picked up four or five people that were 100, but most people were between 70 and 80. And it seemed like the most healthy people that ate the best were the ones that were dying early. And the alcoholics and those seemed to be the ones that were trudging on and going for the field goal. It's just how it was. But it doesn't seem like no matter how much you do or whatever you do to stay healthy, you got a certain amount of time the body's going to give you, and that's about it. See you, bye.
Which is why you take care of yourself, but you don't go to the extreme level this guy's gone to.
I have always said, and I've never, I probably, I don't know, 2007, 2008 was probably in the best shape of my life. I'd lost a bunch of weight. I was doing some jogging. I was exercising a lot. And, I was skinny. I had to buy new clothes. I was so skinny. I hadn't been that skinny in years.
It's the best feeling.
And I'm not anymore. I'll just say that. But if I'm walking down the street tomorrow and the Widowmaker hits me, because it happens on occasion, I don't want my last thought to be, dang, I should have had that donut this morning. Like, I'm not ever going to be that person. I do not know how this guy does it. He's going to live his whole life fretting over how long he's going to live, and then suddenly he gets hit by lightning one day and none of it mattered.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why when people go to the extreme level of like counting every single thing and weighing it, I get doing that for maybe a short period of time if you're in an acute stage of, for your health, you're trying to lose weight or something
that.
Like that. Like, I totally get that. But somebody who obsesses over it, like this guy clearly has, where he's doing, it says pelvic floor activation using electromagnetic pulses to develop inner abdominal muscles. He receives regular IPL laser treatments on his skin each week to help with rejuvenation, does blood tests, ultrasounds, MRIs, colonoscopies. He's undergone dozens of medical procedures, and he measures his vital signs several times each day. How much time does that take just to do all that?
I just don't know. I mean, these days, that's probably as easy as a smartwatch, right?
He spends thousands and thousands of dollars on all this fancy equipment. He sold his payment processing company, if you're wondering how he has all this money. It was called Braintree Payment Solutions. He sold it to, I guess, eBay for $800 million in 2013. And this is how he's decided to spend his money.
You know what could add years to your life and probably make you look like, is just taking your $800 million, buying a yacht, and cruising the islands of the Caribbean, and that's laying on Snow White beaches and drinking Mai Tais and whatever it is you prefer, beer, and just having a good time.
Yeah.
Just relaxing and not worrying about it. I think fretting over things ages you a whole lot faster than
stress.
Yeah, then
I agree.
When your next Lubiderm treatment is on your face.
Stress has to be probably one of the fastest things that could, the biggest factors in aging, right?
I would think. I mean, it takes more muscles to frown than smile. Isn't that what they say?
They do say that, Mark.
And I smile every time I pour a little bit of bourbon in a glass, so I'm smiling a lot.
I don't feel like I see you smile that often, Mark.
Hey, come on. I smile all the time.
I'm kidding. You do smile.
I'm a happy guy. I'll just have a little bit of whatever Jennifer Aniston's having, because she seems
she
to be
aging
pretty
well.
She
does not age.
She doesn't.
I'm telling you. But some of these celebrities who claim they've not done any work, like Courtney Cox, I'm sorry, she did far too much.
Demi Moore?
You cannot deny that she had work done. But like the Jennifer Anistons of the world, that girl's not aging, and it doesn't look like it's tasteful. Whatever work she's done has been good, because it's not obvious. She can still smile and she still has some movement in her face.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying Demi Moore doesn't look good. I just watched her at the Golden Globes and been watching her in Landman with Billy Bob Thornton. She's not in a lot of the scenes, but she still looks great. So something's working for her. Probably that plastic surgery or whatever she's had there. All right. Good luck to you and cheers. Coming up, we're going to get to Scott Lauerman. We'll talk to him about this offshore drilling ban the Biden administration is trying to put in place at the very last minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.